Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer with John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, as we look forward to this 2021 season, it really is time to look forward, I think. I believe as we record this on Tuesday afternoon, we are 100 days out. I think that's what we're at right here, is 100 days out from Tennessee football's opener against Bowling Green. Do you got the tear sheet on the wall? Do you got the number 100 on the wall? You're gonna tear it off every day like a kid waiting for Christmas? You counting down the days?
I'm checking the walls here in my office, and I can't find that.
Well, maybe Melinda hid it from you. I'm sure it's there. As we look forward to this season, John, we're gonna take a closer look at Tennessee's roster today, and in particular, the potential for star power on this team. As you look around the SEC, to really have a team that finishes, I'd say, in the top half of the conference standings, I think it's pretty undeniable that you need some stars. I mean, you look at the teams that won national championships the past couple seasons, and we're not really talking about that for Tennessee, but you look at what you're aspiring to. Alabama last year sent 10 players from last year's team onto the NFL draft. 8 of those players were selected in the first 2 rounds. You go back the year before that, LSU had 14 players selected in the NFL draft. And really, even as you trickle on down the list, even your good but not great teams usually pump out some all-SEC, first or second team caliber players, some guys that get selected in the NFL draft. So let's take a look at that for Tennessee. A, just in general, how much star power potential do you think this team has? Before we start talking about particular candidates, do you think that overall there's some potential star power here, or is it pretty bleak in that area for the Vols?
Well, I know when you look at last season's 3-7 record, you don't usually think in terms of star power. Look at the draft with Tennessee. There's no evidence of great star power. Trey Smith, who was supposed to be Tennessee's one of its best players, most honored players, didn't go till late. However, you never can be sure about star power. I mean, Tennessee has signed a lot of 4-star players in the last few years, and you never know when one of these guys might emerge. So I think there's always a possibility of that, and I think that's one reason why fans can be hopeful. When you're in the middle or near the bottom of a conference as tough as Tennessee is in, one really good player can make a great difference. We were talking about this off air last year. I go back to Missouri. Nick Bolton was just a terrific linebacker. Now, he might have been lost on Alabama's defense because they've got a lot of other good players. But Nick Bolton stood out. Every time I watched Missouri play, he made a difference. And you just could tell he was a really good player. So one guy like that can really have a positive impact on a roster that might be depleted overall, and certainly not have the depth of talent of a Alabama, Georgia, or even Florida.
You know, football really is the ultimate team sport, John. But even so, you sprinkle in a couple stars, and it can make a big difference for a program. You know, in college basketball, certainly, I think one guy can take over a game at times, but I also think that you can still have a pretty good team by having, you know, 5 solid players. In football, it feels like you need those stars to elevate your team if you're really going to achieve something. And some of that maybe comes at the game's most important position at quarterback. But, you know, you mentioned at linebacker, I think that's another position where a guy could kind of really elevate your team. And even, you know, you look at Alabama last year, there was star power all over that roster. But in particular, I think the stars that Alabama had at wide receiver, and Devonta Smith in particular, Heisman Trophy winner, I mean, that goes to show you, you know, just how much impact one guy can make, even in a team game like football. So when you look at this Tennessee team, I don't know that Josh Heupel inherited a lot of ready-made stars. I mean, some of your top candidates to be that, I think, would have been Eric Gray and Henry Toa, guys that departed for the transfer portal, and Eric Gray now at Oklahoma, and Henry Toa now at Alabama. So I think those would have been your headline candidates. So now that they're out of the fold, who's your top candidate for star potential? Is there someone on this roster that is, let's say, a first team All-SEC caliber player?
Blake, I don't even think there's any debate about that. I think it's Cade Mays, a former five-star recruit who signed with Georgia, who played as a true freshman, played at a lot of different positions on Georgia's offensive line, and that was a talented veteran offensive line. But right away, he was good enough to have an impact. Injury slowed him some that year and the next year, and he transferred to Tennessee. I just really think he has all-SEC potential, high round, maybe even a first-round draft pick as an offensive guard. Maybe that might be stretching it a bit, but I certainly think second round. I just think he has the potential to be a really good player. I think, eliminating the possibility of injury, I think Cade Mays will be a better player this year for Tennessee in the offensive line than Trey Smith was last year.
Interesting. I think part of that maybe depends on where do they put Cade Mays. I think he's a much better player as a guard than he is a tackle. I think Tennessee has a big need at tackle with, I mean, the exit of Wanye Morris. Not that Wanye Morris was a great performer, but the exits of Wanye Morris and Jameer Johnson really thinned the depth for Tennessee at tackle. But ultimately, I think Cade Mays has a higher level that he can reach as a guard. And yeah, I think maybe if he plays guard, I could see him playing to the level of Trey Smith. I don't know about, what do you think? Trey Smith on his best day, do you think he has a higher ceiling than Cade Mays? Because I didn't think Trey Smith in 2020 was the best version we saw of Trey Smith. But do you think even on Trey Smith's best day, do you think Cade Mays has a higher ceiling than him?
Possibly, because just the adversity Trey Smith had to go through with the blood clots in his lungs that sidelined him for his season, that really impacted him in the offseason, where he couldn't work out as much, he couldn't practice as much. I really think that affected his career at Tennessee. I go back to him as a freshman, and I thought, that's going to be a first-round NFL draft pick. He really looked the part. He might be a Pro Bowl offensive guard one day. He looked that dominant as a freshman. I remember his very first game. I think Cade Mays may not show as much dominance and as many highlights right away. He maybe hasn't shown that, but I think he could be overall maybe more productive and more consistent than Trey Smith was.
John, I don't know if you recall, you may have conveniently forgot this, but you were sort of a champion of the idea that Quaveris Crouch was going to become a standout player at Tennessee. You were kind of enamored with his two-way ability, his prowess as a running back and ability to play defense. And that really was a poor prediction that I'm not letting you live down.
Nor should you.
No, I'm not going to let you off easy. But in the role that you're in, you get unlimited chances to predict the next star here, and I know someone you've gone in heavily on, and I'm guilty of this as well, is Tyon Evans. And we are believers. I know you are. You wrote about it recently. I've talked about it with you on this podcast. We're believers in that junior college running back transfer. Tyon Evans is a really, really good pickup in Tennessee's 2021 signing class and should be the headliner of the running back position group. Of course, he was slowed by injury in the spring, but should be full speed come fall. So what about the idea that Tyon Evans, your guy, could take over here some star power for Tennessee?
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I'm counting on. And let's go back to Quaveris Crouch for a second. Quaveris Crouch won me over as a running back in high school. I saw his video. Big, strong guy with speed. Remind me of LeGarrette Blount, that played in Oregon and on into the NFL, was with the Patriots in the Super Bowl season. That's who he reminded me of. I didn't know what he'd be like as a down lineman, so maybe I should have just backed off in that and say, hey, Tennessee lost a great running back when he decided to play defense. We never saw those special qualities that made you think, man, this guy's going to be something. Never saw that at defense. He didn't seem to have the intuition for being a linebacker. And to me, that's a crucial attribute to have at that position. So let's forget about him and give me a little credit, maybe. I saw him as a running back, and maybe he would have been the next great running back. But now we move on to Tyon Evans. To me, as a layman, I think I can spot good running backs better than other positions.
Well, you certainly couldn't spot a good linebacker in comparison.
No, I obviously have no clue over what a good linebacker looks like. However, with Tyon Evans, when you watch him play, when you watch the video, and I know it's highlight video, but the basic things you look for: can run with power, show speed, pulls away from the defense in the open field, can catch the ball. He's built. He's got that prototypical build for a running back. I don't know exactly what his measurements are, but the 5'10", 215-pound kind of range. So that's something you look for. I really liked his balance, the way, and also his first step. And once he made contact, he just had really, really good balance, and he kind of just kept going. Reminded me a little bit of Ramondre Stevenson at Oklahoma last year, another junior college running back. Not blazing speed, but you could watch the guy run in tight quarters, and he just kept his footing and kept moving forward and bouncing off guys. That's what I see in Tyon Evans. And, of course, based on my track record, you could say, well, you've probably made another horrible prediction, but at least he hasn't said he wants to play linebacker.
That's a good sign, yeah. I'm willing to forgive and forget, John. I had to get one more dig in on Kaveris Crouch, but I think from here
that's
on, that's my last one. Let it go from here. You've mentioned, we've talked about two guys on offense. Let's go one deeper on offense before we change gears. We've talked about Cade Mays, potential star power, Tyon Evans, potential star in the making for Tennessee at running back. How about one more? Is there one more guy on this offense for Tennessee that you think this is an all-SEC caliber player? This is someone who could be a star for Tennessee.
This is somewhat of a reach because he just hasn't played that much. He was a freshman last year's wide receiver, Jalen Hyatt. I just watching the guy run, he's a smooth runner with long strides. He just looks like a natural at that position to me. And I thought he should have got more playing time last season as a wide receiver. But what do I know? I don't know any more than Jeremy Pruitt does about offensive receivers. So I just think he has that kind of potential. That's one thing I look for in wide receivers, kind of their how smoothly they run. And I think he runs really smoothly. And so I think he's a potential star. It's hard to say that when somebody hasn't done anything. And I haven't even looked at his, so I'm not swayed by his highlight video because I haven't looked at his high school video. I know I do that too much, and so I never looked at his, but just watching him run, his movement, I just think he could be a really good receiver, and I think he will have an opportunity in Josh Heupel's system to maybe really showcase his skills.
Well, that's just it, John. I like his skills as well, but I think I like Jalen Hyatt even more coupled with this offense. I'm not sure that the Jeremy Pruitt system ever would have positioned Jalen Hyatt to be playing at the highest level that he has to reach his ceiling. Josh Heupel's system, I mean, so much is made of the tempo, so much is made of how he develops quarterbacks, and there's something to that. We've talked about that. But I think a couple things are often overlooked in Josh Heupel's track record. Number one, his offensive lines have played pretty well, and that's not only Heupel, but that's his position coach, Glenn Ellerbe, has been with Heupel at his last two stops, and really his offensive lines have been kind of sneaky good. Don't get talked about a lot, but they've performed pretty well at those past two stops. But then, two, he's had several really standout receivers, downfield targets, and, you know, this isn't all quick stuff. We talk about the RPOs in this system, and there is a lot of that, but this isn't just like quick slants and hitches, screens to wide receivers. I mean, Josh Heupel loves big arm quarterbacks and speedy wide receivers who can run under the ball, and you throw it deep and you let those wide receivers run under it and make a play. And so I think that system really could put Jalin Hyatt in position to succeed, as opposed to Jeremy Pruitt's system, which did take some downfield shots. But overall, you know, Pruitt was much more of a avoid mistakes, don't turn the ball over, kind of a conservative approach offensively. And whereas I think Heupel's system's a little bit more fearless, a little bit more of the offensive minded guy that's coming through there, whereas Jeremy Pruitt was a defensive minded guy. And I think that's great for a wide receiver like Jalin Hyatt.
I think Jeremy Pruitt's system was put opposing defenses in a great position to excel. But I hate to, no, I shouldn't say I hate it. It's one of the cornerstones of my column is beating dead horses. So let's take one more, give it one more beating. If someone who had never seen Tennessee play came up to you and said, hey, that last coach for UT, the one that cheated like crazy and couldn't win enough games, Jeremy Pruitt, I think was his name. How would you describe his offensive system to a stranger?
Risk averse, I would say. Conservative, I guess it's a synonym. Boring, slow paced usually.
Uh-huh.
Old school maybe would apply.
Dull?
Dull? That's even better. Yeah, that's a more blunt way of saying risk averse, I think. Do you have a point there, John, or was that it?
No, that was just a cheap shot.
Okay.
I like to work those in occasionally.
Well, I want to get to a couple defensive players in a minute, but first, John, I'm going to take this time to remind our listeners, if you haven't already, please give us a review on the Volunteer State podcast on whatever app you are listening on. We'd really appreciate your feedback on that. And if you don't already, go ahead and subscribe to that podcast. We don't want you to miss any of our podcasts. So if you're subscribing to it, you won't miss a one. And you can also subscribe to read our work over at KnoxNews.com. John, we've talked about offensive players that have potential star power. How about on the defensive side of the ball? I think you and I are in agreement. I know that we feel like the offense is probably a little bit better positioned for success in 2021. But if Tennessee is going to really be much of anything this year, they can't just be a total bust on defense. They have to be able to hold their own on that side of the ball at least a little bit, which I think is a concern for Tennessee. But are there a couple guys that have some potential on that side of the ball? I'll throw one out there to start off with. How about Tyler Barron as star power potential? This is a guy that when he signed was a coveted four-star prospect. He wasn't one of those guys that just kind of slid in there at the bottom level of being a four-star grade. He was solidly rated as a four-star prospect out of Knoxville Catholic. Kentucky and Ohio State were other schools in the mix. I thought he was a little bit out of place as a stand-up linebacker, which is what he mostly played in Jeremy Pruitt's system. I think he'll be more of hand in the dirt as a pass rush end in this system with this coaching staff. I think that will suit him better. Tennessee really needs a pass rusher, particularly after the losses of DeAndre Johnson and Kevon Bennett, the top two pass rushers from last season. And I think Tyler Barron, to me, is the best candidate to be that guy. I think he could really thrive in this adjusted role to being more of a pass rush in, leave the linebacker stuff behind, and just bring pressure off the edge. What do you think?
Admittedly, I don't have a strong opinion about Tyler Barron. I was too busy waiting for Quaveris Crouch to become a superstar at linebacker. So I kind of overlooked everybody else, and I apologize to the listeners for that. I didn't do a really good job at it. I certainly think there's a place for that. There's an opening there. You mentioned Kevonis Bennett, who got kicked off the team. DeAndre Johnson transferred to Miami and took his personal fouls with him. But those guys had pass rush potential. You've got to have that. And to me, sometimes coaches do not place enough import on that. And I don't know why, because to me it's so crucial. But somebody that can do that is so vital because they can change the momentum, change the course of a game with one play. And when you have a defense like Tennessee's, which is on its heels a lot and which doesn't have great overall depth of talent, we talk about star power. Well, if one guy, maybe your guy, Mark Barron, if he could deliver that sack at a crucial time, can completely change a game. And so maybe Tennessee can be hopeful about him, and maybe a new system, a new coaching staff will bring out in him what the last bunch couldn't.
He is the guy on the defensive line that sort of stands out to me as maybe being ready to kind of take off here in year two within a new staff. You know, a lot of these other defensive linemen, they're veteran guys, and some of them, you know, someone like Matthew Butler, we've talked about him before. I think he probably gets the most possible out of his ability. He's had a nice career here. He's a leader. But they just, it feels like you kind of know what you're getting with a lot of these defensive linemen. They're not particularly disruptive. Got a lot of veterans. You know, I think there's some guys that are average players on the defensive line, but I just don't see a ton of star power at that defensive line group other than Tyler Barron. I'm also curious about the junior college transfer, Byron Young, too. He's got kind of a unique story. He was actually working, I believe, at a Dollar General while he was playing junior college ball, juggling athletics work along with playing junior college ball, played at a military academy in junior college, kind of a unique backstory, and now here at Tennessee. And I think he turned some heads in spring practice for his potential as a pass rusher as well. So those are maybe kind of the couple guys on the defensive line that you at least wonder, you know, we haven't seen enough of them yet to know that they've gotten the most out of their ability. I think there's a higher level to be reached, certainly with Tyler Barron. How about as you move back in the next couple levels of the defense, John, a couple guys I think about, Juwan Mitchell led Texas in tackles last year, the transfer linebacker. I'm not sure how much of that was just he was on the field a lot and he was in the middle of the field, so you're going to rack up some tackles. It might be a stretch to say that there's star power potential there, do you think? And what about the secondary as well? Is there someone in the secondary that you think has star power potential?
Well, first I need to apologize. I think I referred to Tyler Barron as Mark Barron, who used to play for Alabama.
I was going to let that slide.
Well, I don't like to do that. I believe in transparency. But now moving on to the DBs. See, I thought Jalen McCullough was going to be a really good player at safety. He was a highly recruited guy. He just didn't pan out. He got lost in coverage last year. Alante Taylor's always kind of been the other cornerback. He started early in his career, but he's just, you never know for sure if he'll hold on to his starting job. I mean, there's just that uncertainty. So honestly, I'm not really optimistic about those DBs. Don't you think that potentially Key Lawrence, who transferred to Oklahoma, might have been that guy? We'll never know now. But
yeah, he's a transfer that I think we kind of forget about. When you think about all those transfers, you know, guys that come top of mind are Eric Gray, Henry Toatoa, as we mentioned earlier, your man, Quaveris Crouch, Wanya Morris. I said I was ready to let it go. Apparently,
can't.
I'm not. I'm not quite ready to let that go yet. Wanya Morris, you know, some of those guys that had been around the program for a couple years, and Key Lawrence is a guy that I think gets lost in the shuffle. He was a top-rated recruit of Jeremy Pruitt's 2020 signing class. So I think you're right in terms of maybe losses from that secondary, or really just losses from that defense beyond Henry Toatoa. Losing Key Lawrence, I think, does sting, particularly, you know, long-term, what he might have been capable of in this program. I think we just saw a glimpse of that last year, really didn't get a ton of time out there. We probably should have played more, given the poor performance of the team. Why not play the young guys? But Jeremy Pruitt was hesitant to do that for whatever reason throughout the 2020 season. So, yeah, I mean, in this secondary, I probably like Alante Taylor the best, maybe, as someone. But there's just so many good cornerbacks in this conference. And, you know, I don't put him on the same plane as a lot of the top guys in this conference. I think he's a good player, certainly on this defense. I think he's one of the better players. But I'm not sure I would elevate him quite to that star level. Jalen McCollough, he did look pretty good in 2019. I think it was revealed somewhat in 2020 just how valuable Nigel Warrior was in 2019 playing alongside Jalen McCollough. I think Warrior did a lot of things, especially as we look back on it in hindsight during that 2019 season and covering up problems in the back end, whether that be in pass coverage or run support. Really, I think in particular in pass coverage. And I thought McCollough was really good in the run game, really last year and in 2019 both. But I thought some deficiencies were exposed in pass coverage from him last year. Trevon Flowers is a guy that I think has played some really nice games throughout his time at Tennessee, which date back to 2018, but he's battled injuries throughout the course of his career. And, you know, you just wonder if he can stay healthy, which he did throughout last season. He was fairly healthy throughout last year, but, you know, if he can put another healthy season in a row here after being derailed by injuries for much of the 2018 and 2019 seasons, I wonder if he's a guy that, I don't know, star power might be a stretch. First team all SEC, I think that's a stretch. But, you know, someone who can be a good player in the back end of that defense. Maybe someone like a Nigel Warrior who, as they became a veteran, you know, reached another level. I mean, Trevon Flowers now is going into his fourth season in the program. So I would look to him maybe as one other guy in the back end of that defense that can reach maybe a higher rung.
That's fair, and I like the Nigel Warrior reference because he was a heralded recruit who never really hit his stride. And you kind of think he's just going to fall by the wayside. And then he really came around his senior year and became an excellent player and sort of the glue on that Tennessee defense to that defensive secondary. So, yeah, maybe that'll happen. And I think that's something to take away from this podcast. There are players out there that we don't know a whole lot about who haven't really impressed us as becoming future stars yet, but there's still time, and sometimes that does happen, that a light comes on and they become a really good player. And I expect that to happen to Quaveris Crouch, ex-Vol, who'll be in Michigan State. Hopefully the Spartans will move him to running back this fall, and he'll be chest bumping Sparty in the end zone.
How many days till Michigan State's opener, John? I said I think it was 100.
It's 103.
Okay. All right. Well, go find that. Maybe you got that poll sheet for Michigan State. You can pull off the numbers there to Quaveris Crouch's season opener. See if you can find that.
I'll do that.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.